You know, as we've gone through the Gospels, it seems that each writer has something that he wants to emphasize about Jesus and Jesus' life. And one of the things I've discovered, and perhaps you have too, is that the one thing that John wanted to emphasize was the fact that knowing Christ was a very personal, a very intimate thing. And of course, this was true for him. Personally, he was the closest to Jesus. The other disciples had a relationship, but it was not quite the same as what John had. And if you look at this passage here that was read by Lexi in John chapter 6, verses 53, there are two verses that are sort of like bookends. And it's important to take note of what is said in those verses. Verse 52 says, "Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And then the other one is verse 60. "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?'" You see, for Jesus to suggest that they eat his flesh and drink his blood was even more bizarre of a suggestion then than it is today. Because in this time period, the Jews, of course, did not believe in drinking any blood of anything, animal, regardless. They were very, very selective and very careful what kind of meat they ate. And so for Jesus to say this, there was certainly an element of shock. Even in today, in the morals that we and the values that we have today, to suggest that somebody eat your flesh is shocking. I'm reminded of this when reading the story of one of my ancestors who went as a missionary back in the 1700s, late 1700s, early 1800s, to a place where there were cannibals. And they didn't dare come near this text. They didn't dare use this text in any way because it would support some of the values of some of the tribes. In fact, ultimately, as I've shared with you before, he did lose his life. He was killed by cannibals. But this whole idea of eating the flesh and drinking the blood, we shy from, we cringe at that. And yet the very thing that we are doing here this morning, this communion service, the Eucharist, it is symbolic of that very act of eating the flesh and drinking the blood. And Jesus told his disciples, do this continually until I come. And so as Christians, we follow Christ's example. And we have the communion service to remind us of what Christ did for us. You see, the thing that we have to remember is that Jesus was not speaking of his literal flesh and his literal blood. He was talking about partaking of salvation. Giving of his life, shedding of his blood, was the act that would open the door for all of us to receive salvation, to receive eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood that we can source and we can resource life eternal. But you see, Jesus needed maybe to shock them just a little bit to get them out of the rut. Because to them, salvation came through doing the right things, following the right laws, doing all those things that made them righteous and made them worthy of salvation. Jesus wanted them to realize that it was through participating in the emblems or the symbols of his life and death on the cross. And it's only through his life and death on the cross that they could have eternal life. Somehow he had to get them out of that thinking where salvation came through their own works, through their own merits, and help them to understand that salvation only came through Him. He was the bread of life. He is the one that was sent down from heaven. He is the one that is able to give us life eternal. And so, through the ages, the concept of the Eucharist, the concept of partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, has been a source of controversy, a source of debate, a source of theological wonderings and arguments. And even to this day, there are different views on what these emblems really are. I remember taking, actually I took a couple of classes, but in this one particular class, it was a history class on the history of theology. And I have to confess that I never really did quite fully comprehend and understand 13th century thought. It certainly sparked many wars and many battles and many theological arguments. I never did fully understand Platonism or transubstantiation or consubstantiation and exactly how they were connected with the Eucharist. John Calvin, of course, rejected the idea of consubstantiation. And he said that eating the bread, it doesn't really change. The bread and the wine don't really change. But Christ visits your heart directly from heaven. Think about that for a minute. During this service, have you felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Now, of course, there's much debate between the Lutherans. And along came a man by the name of Zwingli who disagreed with Luther. And he came to this conclusion. He said that the bread and the wine, that really nothing unusual went on. That you were just simply just taking part in a memorial of Christ's death and resurrection. And so he suggested that when Jesus broke the bread and said, "This is my body," tradition says that he actually pointed to himself when he broke the bread. He said, "This is my body." He was trying to communicate to his disciples that he was the one that would be broken. He was the one that would shed his blood. And so for hundreds and hundreds of years, the church has often seen this service, the Eucharist or the communion service, as actually it's mysterious. Mysterium is the word that they use to describe this service. And yet the mystery is what happens by God's action through our faith. That's where the mystery is. The mystery is how we respond to these emblems. How we respond to the call of the Holy Spirit, the tug of the Holy Spirit on our hearts and our lives. The mystery is that God offered His Son. The mystery is that God suffered, and He suffered for you and for me. The mystery is that He loved us so much that He was willing to die on the cross. The flesh and the blood, the sacrifice, they're all offered. Yes, that truly is a mystery. But the only true mystery that we cannot comprehend is that Christ, the Son of God, would come to this old world, this dying world, and would give us hope eternal through Jesus Christ, His Son. How you respond to that, how you respond to that call and to that knowledge that Jesus died for you can be the difference between life eternal or death. That's really your call. That's up to you. As we participate in this service, as we partake of the emblems, the bread, symbolic of the body of Christ that was broken for us, the grape juice that is symbolic of His blood that was shed on the cross. Let us, in our minds and in our hearts, choose and resolve to continue to follow Jesus. because he is the bread of life. There is no other source. It's only through Jesus Christ.